So I don't think that there is a need for us, or there's even a substantive reason to say, you know, what is sometimes said about that translation. On the other hand, I would also say that to insist on certain translations that sound so hip, if I could use that word, so contemporary, that they lose perhaps what might be considered some of the dignity of the Word of God, or perhaps even give up. There are different schools of thought, different not schools of thought, but different approaches to the act of translation. There is what's called dynamic equivalence, and I think the other one is called literal equivalence. I'm not sure if I'm right on that, but dynamic equivalence is like thought for thought, and you just sort of get the thought and you put it into the common language. And literal equivalence is you get word for word as close as you can, and you put it into the common language that way. So there's different reasons. I don't ever accuse Bible translators. There are those who accuse Bible translators of playing fast and loose with the Word of God. And look what these people have done in this Bible translation. I don't like to insult Bible translators, because I think these are, generally speaking, these are believers who want the Word of God to be accessible. So we don't want to throw out modern translations just because they're modern. We don't want to throw out an old translation just because it's old either. I think the key thought is, in any translation, if somebody is comfortable with a certain translation, we adapt to that translation so we can teach from that translation. If we're comfortable with the King James translation, we have to make sure we can explain it in today's language. So if you are accustomed to it, you know, maybe you grew up memorizing it, it's just the way the words stay in your head, you make sure that you can explain it without using terminology that ordinary people don't understand. Understand the Word of God clearly enough so that you can explain it plainly. If you like a modern translation, make sure that the presentation of the doctrines of the Scripture is accurately preserved and explained from there. And if somebody doesn't like that translation, use theirs and explain the main point. No doctrine of the Scripture should be overturned because you can't find the favorite word that you like in that particular verse. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you say, look at this particular verse, and I love this word in this verse. Then you go to another translation, that word maybe isn't there because it doesn't mean it always that same word. And then your point kind of goes away. Oh man, I had a really nice point, now I can't make it anymore. Well, that probably was not relying on the Word of God. That was just relying on this one little idea. And we want to understand the big themes of the Word of God, and they should consistently work in our explanation, if you may say it that way. I don't know if that fully addresses your thoughts, Luke, but no, it's a very relevant question, I think. It's, yeah, maybe there's more.
I would just add to that. There was two brothers that were arguing about which translation's the best. And this one said, no, Darby's the best. And this one said, no, New American Standard's the best. And they're going back and forth as to which one they think is the best translation. And I sat there and listened for about 15 minutes. And then they said, well, what do you think? And I said, my grandmother's translation was the best. And they said, we didn't know your grandmother had a translation. And I said, she translated it into her life. Mm-hmm. We can argue about all the translations and we can have big discussions about it. But if it's not translated into our life, what difference does it make? And this is where really, what translation are you growing by? When I first turned back to the Lord years ago, I was reading the NIV. No offense to anybody that's here, but the NIV it was difficult for me to do word studies with. And so I grew out of the NIV and I went to another translation, and it's nothing against the NIV. I'm not here to condemn that. But if you're growing in that, you go ahead. Whichever translation is growing you to the Lord, praise the Lord for that. And if the Lord doesn't want you in that translation, he'll grow you out of that translation, and he'll grow you into one that he wants. He wants it translated into your life.
I think that's a great segue to moving on to the, you know, the practice of understanding. And I think a couple of things that, you know, I just wanted to quickly hit you up with some of the wrong approaches, some of the wrong practice. So we all agree that it's a communication from God. We all agree that we have a desire to be more well-versed in the scriptures and have a better understanding and to get the most out of it. But sometimes, as in any school, in any discipline, and Steve could tell you he's a teacher, is that you explain something or you tell your students this is what we want you to do, but they can often start to do it the wrong way. I'm going to just hit six wrong ways that we often approach the scriptures. And if you find yourself in one of those, you know, just make a note. Oh, that's me. And maybe we can help get you out of that mode so that you can get a better approach in the practice of understanding the scriptures. The first approach is the Xanax approach. You know what Xanax is? Xanax is a mood enhancing, keep you calm pharmaceutical. And sometimes we approach the scriptures because we want to feel good. We want to feel better. And so we always approach the scriptures like, oh, I'm reading something to make me feel good. Well, there's a couple problems with that. You're forgetting that it's the author who's communicating to you, and it's not really about you. There might be something in it about you, but it's really what he wants you to know about how he sees you and how he sees himself. The next approach sometimes is the pinball approach. You know what the pinball approach is? You just sit down and plop the Bible open, and there's a thing, and then you start reading. You know, you go all over the place. Well, that's not how the Bible was delivered to us. It was delivered to us in a very systematic, orderly way. The magic eight ball approach, right? I'm faced with a life decision. I'm faced with some choices. And so I really want to know what God wants me to do. So I try to find a scripture that gives me some sense of direction, and I kind of flip it over and say, bam, there. This one, the fourth one. The personal shopper approach. You know, I only want to look for the things that I'm interested in. I only want to confirm my own preconceived ideas. And I approach the scriptures that way. No, again, it's authored by God. My approach to the scriptures to be, what will you teach me? I don't come with a pre-assigned agenda. Here's another one that we're susceptible to. The telephone game approach. You know what the telephone game approach is? I read something in the Bible, and instead of asking the Lord to teach me, I go to a commentary. I'm not finding fault with commentaries. Or I go to YouTube to listen to my favorite speaker exposit on the passage. I find some article from someone of my favorite authors or my favorite writer to see what he says about the passage. Well, that's not the way God wants you to understand. He wants you to understand it for yourself, and then you could check with the other guys to see if they got it right. And then the last one is what's called the Jack Spratt approach. And Steve said I need to explain that because not everybody might know what Jack Spratt is. Jack Spratt is a nursery rhyme in which he can only eat fat. He only ate fat, and his wife only ate what was lean, and so they got along very well together because. And we approach the Word of God, and we only are interested in that one thing, selectively reading. So I only read the New Testament, or I only read passages that I'm familiar with, and it's, you know, easy. What we have to comprehend is that the whole Scripture is the whole revelation that God gives us. And to read through it in a systematic and a particular way because I want to learn what he wants to tell me through it. So sometimes we have the desire, but we might not have the right approach, the right practice. And if you see yourself in one of these practices, well, hopefully, you know, what Steve's going to tell us next is that there are ways to get around that so that you can appreciate the full counsel of God as it's given to us in the Word of God, and to see how we can grow by it.